Marty became such a good musician over time. Today, we're going to do something we haven't done for a long time and has been our episode in the back pocket. Today, we're doing it. The history of Marty Gray, the man, the myth, the legend. This is my back pocket episode. And we're going to make use of tons of tools in the tune shed that Marty has learned over his life.
Oh my God, switching roles. Okay, I can do this. Welcome to the Tune Shed, the workshop for everything music, from history, theory, creative process, production, you name it. We are here to become better music listeners, better creators, and better music lovers. I'm your host, Marty, and I'm here with my dear childhood friend and amateur musician, Blake Murray. What is up, Blake?
That's right. Amateur musician Blake in the house.
Dude, but you've released music on Spotify. So are you a professional now?
I think I need the check to be a professional.
Oh, okay. I don't remember how you get that. I think it's really easy.
Do you have to go get it? How does this work?
Yeah, you have to go get it. You have to like go and like hunt for it.
You have to fly to Spotify headquarters and say Daniel Ekman or whatever his name is.
They put you in a big room with like a bunch of blue checks and they like make you try to catch one, but they're super fast.
Oh. Is it worth it? Like, are they worth it? Is there any money in them?
No, there's no money or anything. It's mainly for clout.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, since I only have one song on Spotify, if you look up Make Blurry, you might be able to find it.
You'll find it. Soon
but
to
we'll
be
too soon. Yeah, that's true. Yep. I got to do the album art for that other one. Both songs actually that we made on the podcast, which is really cool. And you know, this is our back pocket episode, Marty, because you know this whole podcast started because we made a song together over the pandemic. Mm-hmm. I started calling you being like, what do you think of this part? I don't know how to arrange a song. Like, I don't know how to mix a song. How do we do this stuff? You're telling me all this good stuff, but also you're a busy pro musician. So I was like, how do I put this together? So then I pitched this podcast to you, and here we are learning about music every day. But I think something that's so important and something that I actually missed part of too, just growing up, was, you know, I saw the beginning of your musicianship, like when we used to hang out through high school. And then we went to college and I really didn't see you for a long time. I mean, maybe one or two Christmases or something like that, but very, very little contact all the way up until the pandemic. And so after college too. So I think a ton of stuff happened in there that I'm really curious about. But I think for everybody, like, and maybe for some good old reminiscing, I thought, let's just run through your history as a musician, just like we do with a lot of our guests. And just,
holy crap.
Are you ready?
I didn't know this was coming, by the way.
Is it okay if I just put you on the spot?
I'm being interviewed. Let's go. I'm ready.
You're being interviewed. So it all started on, what's that street called?
My street?
Arch?
Arch Street.
Arch Street.
Yeah, you got it.
Well, it's weird when you know something really well, but it's buried in your brain.
Yeah. Yours was Prospect.
Prospect. Okay. Well, some people are really fast at that.
I literally just passed it the other week when I was up there.
Oh, no way.
I drove by and I was like, that's Blake Street. Prospect. I said it out loud. It's on the tip of the dome.
It's on the tip of the dome.
Yeah.
All right. So we grew up in Michigan together. What was your first like musical? What was your first, you know, musical thing?
I've always done it. Always done music. But I haven't always been a singer, you know? Like my parents put me in these like summer plays as a kid. And we'd have to sing songs.
You were a theater kid.
Yeah, not really like that much of a theater kid though. Well, like
that's true.
We did these crazy, I don't know how they did this. They, when we were like little kids, like 7.
Yeah.
They put together a musical, like Wizard of Oz or something. They put together a musical in a week. Adria Grubelis's mom, Sheila Grubelis, she was in charge of all this. And she put them together in a week. And each role would have 4 kids that would play the role. So I would, for example, like I was cast as some, like the Tin Man or something. And I played like 1/4 of the show. And they were able to like organize all these little fucking kids and like put on this musical.
I was in that. Yes, that I was.
What were you?
I was a munchkin, but okay. I couldn't even do that. I got switched out and became a,
Oh, no.
What were the They weren't bats. What were they called?
Oh, and they're
Gargoyles?
like, yeah, what are they called? Like
What are those things?
gremlins? Or
Yeah, like
like
the were they the Witch of the East? No, the what
yeah,
were those
they were like
things?
the Witch of the West, like the monkeys with wings or whatever.
Yeah, those things. I was one of those,
Oh,
and I thought that was way cooler than
bro.
being a Munchkin.
That is
But
actually way cooler than being a Munchkin.
still, just that's the role. They're like sort kids quickly. They're like, okay,
Yeah.
you can memorize some stuff, so you're gonna be the Tin Man,
Right.
and you are chaotic energy, so you're gonna be this.
Right. And that we all had songs, right? So like literally if you could
Yeah.
sing at all, they were like, you have to sing this song. So
And
that was pretty much it until middle school.
wow.
You know, just like I would sing like a song in summer theater thing.
Yeah.
You know? But then middle school, we both were in band. So
Right,
we
yeah.
like Blake and I were both in band in fifth grade. So fifth to eighth grade, we were both in band. Blake played percussion, that I was super envious of, and I played saxophone, which was sick.
Sick.
And I still have my sax actually.
Really, that same
Yeah,
one? Ah,
I still
that's
have the same
cool.
one. I play it all the time. Love
Really?
that thing. Yeah, I
That's
didn't play it for a
awesome.
long time, but I like started to learn it again.
Oh, good. Saxophones are really fun to do production with. I've seen a lot of cool production. I gotta shout out Sen Morimoto. He's my friend's friend. Makes really cool music. Loops the saxophone a lot, puts effects on it. Go check him out
Cool.
if you're looking for something new.
Like, send me that if you get the chance.
Yeah, I will. I will. People Watching, great song.
Cool.
Anyways, playing sax.
Yep, playing sax. Doing a little more singing, but not singing.
Yeah, weren't
And I
we in
think.
choir too at the same time? Fifth grade?
Yeah, but we didn't. I didn't sing in choir.
I didn't either. I tried not to, yeah.
I tried not to.
I was
And I
too
didn't.
scared. I probably influenced you to do that because I
I was
was
also
like,
too scared. Well, I hated my voice because it was like changing, sort of. It was
yeah.
super high, but still kind of like it was the timbre was changing and I couldn't control it at all.
Yeah.
But I also thought it sucked. I thought it was not cool at all.
Yeah, I was super insecure about the whole thing, so
Yeah.
I was like, I'm gonna try to
Me
mumble.
too. Yeah, I straight up didn't sing. I didn't even
Oh,
sing for the concerts.
not even that one song that goes 525,600.
Did we do that?
I think we did.
Oh no, we did the Rent song. Oh, that's so
Don't even
cringy.
remember what the right number is, but
I wouldn't
yeah.
sing that song now.
Yeah, it is a cringy song just because I
Oh,
imagine hundreds of fifth graders singing it, which is
it's the
like
worst.
a funny type of torture or
Dude,
something.
it only hits in Rent if you're watching like Broadway. If you're watching anything other than like actual
Yeah.
amazing people, it sucks. I hate it.
Yeah. That kind of makes it the best song and the worst song at the same time, you know?
Yeah.
It's like
It
kind
hits
of
in the show.
untouchable.
Yeah, in the show it's like the
Yeah.
last song, you're like, oh.
I'm sure it works in the show, yeah. Because
Yeah.
I like it's a good, it's a well-written song, you know,
Yeah.
but
But when it's like a bunch of fifth graders, oh, it's the worst. It's the worst, dude.
no can do.
So then I eventually in sixth grade start playing the drums because my dad has a drum set. And you had a drum set from a really early age, and
I got one in fifth grade.
I was asking for a drum set because you had one for so long. Like, dude, I was like, Blake has a drum set. Blake's drum set is super cool. Dad, when can we get a drum set? When are we getting a drum
Your
set?
parents were
Like,
like, why are you friends with that kid? They do
I
not want you
know.
to have a drum set.
Dude, they hated you. They were just like, oh my God, we're gonna have to get him a
I think
drum
my
set.
parents instantly regretted it too. My neighbor was owning the music shop, so we had kind of a hookup. He came over and tuned the drum. I remember him standing on the floor tom. He's like, this is how much tension you can
He
put on
stood
this
on
floor
it.
tom. He stood on it to like tune it the first time and stretch the head out. And I was like, I can hit that thing that hard. And he's like, oh yeah.
As a fifth grader, you're like, oh
And it
man.
was, get this, it was like you walk in my house and it's right in front of you. It was
Yeah, your
in the
drum set.
entryway to the house. My
Eventually, it
parents,
moved to the
I can't
basement.
believe they let me do that. And eventually, yeah, I moved to the basement. But then they let me bring it back up into the living room with the band. Anyways,
That's right.
drums. Wait,
Nice
so
blows up.
your dad was in a band, right? He was a singer in the band?
The whole freaking time, my dad had a drum set sitting in boxes in the basement, and he didn't tell me, because he didn't. He thought it was just probably a phase, bro. He
Okay,
was
because.
like, Blake. He's like Marty's friend Blake has a drum set and he's like super obsessed and he like wants to be Blake so bad, but it'll go away.
If
And
we
it
just
didn't.
get them to hang out a little less, maybe he'll start thinking about something else.
Yeah.
And we
Or
can
like Blake will get sick of the drum set, then it'll be done, and then.
get.
But bro, like I feel like, 'cause you started taking drum lessons, you started to get, I remember you getting pretty good pretty quickly.
I did
And so
love drums. I went
I think,
crazy.
dude, you did. You went crazy. And I mean, all of the Murrays go hog wild when they learn something new. That's just what they do. They learn
Yeah.
things really quickly.
We
So
get obsessive behavior is what I call it.
we love it. I mean, but I think just seeing how fast you were learning it was super inspiring because I was like, holy crap, that just seems so fun.
Yeah.
Dude, I felt the drums calling. 'Cause I didn't ask for like a bass or a guitar. Like I didn't have any of those growing up. I didn't learn to play bass until college. So I wanted the drum set. I wanted that. And it must be genetic because my dad was a drummer and he just had drums the whole time. He didn't tell me. And so
I
then
need you to ask him as an adult. I need you to ask him if he was like, can we give him the drum set? And if your mom's like, please no. Or if they were on the
I
same
will.
page and they were definitely like, no.
I will ask him. I
'Cause
will
I
ask him
wonder
for
if like
sure.
some drummerness in him is like, I just want to see my kid go crazy on the drum set.
I bet you. Yeah, I bet you my mom was like, can we just like wait?
Oh
Or
my
like,
gosh, I
can we wait
can't
to
imagine.
see?
Our poor parents.
Oh,
I
man.
was so bad for so long.
Yeah, I mean, it was just because I always played the music.
Yeah.
I would always put on headphones and like drum to like Red Hot Chili Peppers and like Foo
Yep.
Fighters.
And put it as loud as you can. Foo Fighters, Queens of the
Yeah.
Stone
And then
Age,
drum along
and
to it.
then
Oh,
drum as
yeah.
loud as you
Queens.
can also.
God. And like try to do Rush, but then get frustrated.
Yeah, no, you can't do. Come
Yeah, you can't
on.
do. You can't do Neil Peart, dude.
Even doing some of the stuff Dave Grohl was doing, I was like, I need a double bass pedal. And then I got one. I'm like, nope, I still can't play it. And he
Yeah.
didn't have a double bass pedal. Like,
Yeah.
wow, okay. If
That's
ego
true.
check here.
And to my parents, they didn't have any music, so it was just like senseless sixth grader drumming. So yeah, at the end of sixth grade, I got a drum set, and yeah, it's my dad's old drum set. I was so happy.
So cool. It was a cool drum set.
I still have it.
You also got good crazy fast. I remember coming over and being like, Marty can play everything I can play, and I've been practicing for years.
Well, I wasn't far behind you, and like, I don't know. I had a bunch of like I was taking piano lessons too by that point. So I think I started piano lessons and drumming at the same time, which is weird because I never took drum lessons. So I was taking piano lessons, but also like trying to translate piano lessons to drumming and
There's a
drumming
lot of
along with
rhythm
it.
in piano, especially between the two different hands. So I could
Yeah.
see how that it actually translates. Like piano players almost have more rhythmic capability than drummers sometimes.
Yeah, they do. And like, yeah, but a ton of jazz pianists like understand the rhythm section so well.
Oh yeah,
But like,
big
holy
time.
crap. But yeah, so learning those two things sort of informed each other. And you know, there were certain restrictions to learning piano and drums at the same time too. You know, like I always found it very difficult to do scales in like the opposite way and then transition to doing scales in parallel.
Oh.
Because I just couldn't think that way. My mind was like on when to hit the hands on the keys.
Oh,
You know, so
right.
like doing finger stuff was always very difficult.
Yeah.
And then for drumming, it was feet that gave me a conniption. I could do whatever I wanted with my hands, but like just like doing 2 feet at once was like super struggled with all the
It
time.
is, yeah, that's the four limbs going.
Dude,
That's tough.
I still struggle with it.
It takes
I
time to
like.
build. It's one of those things that like I always say, like you just got to be tapping all the time so you can just make it become automatic and then you don't have to think about it. And that's like the only way to do it, I feel like, actually.
Yeah, man. I mean, people made fun of me in high school for like always tapping.
Yeah.
So I was tapping.
Yeah, tap away.
Yeah, man.
Practicing.
So by like ninth grade, loved drumming so much. I was drumming, and was like fine at piano, was taking lessons, whatever with piano.
Yeah.
Sort of over the saxophone, I was like, maybe I want to try playing percussion in band. So I wanted to play percussion in band, and I wanted to play in the jazz band. But I found our the whole first year in band, I found our band director not very fun. Our band director and I did not get along at all.
Very different types of individuals, I will say.
Yeah.
And maybe we'll leave it at that.
We'll leave it at that. We'll leave it at that. I was probably a little shit. If I'm going to give him credit.
Absolutely, yeah.
But also,
was too.
Whatever it was about, like, the combination of him and I was just not inspired at all by him.
Yeah.
And so it was, I mean, I was chilling after freshman year, chilling at my house with Katie Carey, and we were hanging out, and I was telling her about band, and I was like, I just don't want to do band again, man. And I don't know if I'll do like any music. Like, I was like, I'll just do like woodshop or something. Or, like, I was like, I'll find something sick to do. I'll like get really into Nordic skiing. Mm-hmm. And Katie Carey was like, dude, join choir, you know? Mm. And I was like, and I like had a weird taste in my mouth from middle school choir, obviously.
Right. Yeah.
But Katie Carey was like, bro, it's so fun. It is like, our choir director is amazing. She's so sick. I'm in the chamber choir, which is like the after school choir. Like the choir that all the choir nerds do. She's like, I'm in chamber choir, and it's like, we do these crazy songs by this guy named Eric Whitaker, and like, they're crazy. We do all these, like, she explained it, like, we do these songs where everyone's singing a different note, and it's like this crazy, like, blanket of music. And I was like, that seems amazing. I was like, that sounds so sick.
I mean, Eric Whitaker does slap.
Yeah. He does slap.
And he's a hottie.
Yeah. He is not only a beautiful man, but he is like extremely charismatic.
Yeah. He kind of has that like Disney main character vibe.
People call him Prince Charming.
Yeah. He's Prince Charming.
It's insane.
Yeah.
Dude, I don't know if you know this. Eric Whitaker and I had the chance to like work one-on-one together.
What?
Before. This is the story, like, I'll keep it short, but he came to Michigan Tech to do like a choir learning demo. And so all of the choir kids from our high school went to Michigan Tech to like do this thing. And he was giving a workshop on composition. And I was the only one that showed up to the workshop because it was so early. It was at like 8:30 in the morning.
Oh my gosh.
So. But this was after his like virtual choir fame. So I was the only one that showed up, and nobody else was in this tiny little room. And it was just me and him sitting there. And me like 15, I'm like, ooh.
And he's Prince like, Charming.
Hey. Yeah. And he's like, hey, man, I'm supposed to do like a 2-hour seminar. Do you just want to talk about like composition for 30 minutes or so? And I was like, yes. And so he was like, okay, come on up here. So I just like got to ask him questions for 30 minutes.
That's incredible.
Which is really cool.
And you were in one of his big virtual choirs. He did these pieces where everyone's, you know, sends in a YouTube video of them singing or a video, and then he patched them all together to these crazy, huge choir pieces that sounded awesome.
Yeah, man. I did his first 5 virtual choirs.
Oh my gosh. How many did he do?
He, I think, is still doing them. I think, yeah, I honestly think he probably did them throughout the pandemic, no doubt.
Oh, yeah. But they're really cool. It's kind of an incredible thing, connecting people from all over the world and, you know, original music. It's really awesome. Check them out.
Yep. I was so into it. Obviously, I fell head over heels for choir. I was just like, I fell in love with it. I mean, I discovered I could really sing, first of all. I was like, sophomore year of high school is when, like, well, I was 15, and I was like, oh, I can sing. You know, I've got a good voice. It was kind of weak, you know, but it was pretty. but like fell into it. Just got, like you say, obsessed. Like I became obsessed. Like I bought a USB mic and was like tracking random choir songs like in my room and like uploading them to SoundCloud. Like I was multi-tracking all of the parts and stuff. Like,
yeah.
So I mean virtual choir like inspired me to do that. So by the third virtual choir, I think we did Cloudburst by him, and I'm pretty sure I recorded all of the parts besides bass 2.
And but sent like them just, all in?
Yeah, I just sent him like seven videos of me like recording all, all
that's
the parts.
So cool.
Because
you
he
also did that Alt J song too when we were camping once. I think I've said this in the podcast before, but we went camping.
Wait,
and
what?
You remember this? You took everyone's phone out and we had all just gotten smartphones. This was like mid high school, different variants of smartphones. And you like recorded the first one on one and then you hit play. And then you recorded the second one and the first one on the next one. And then you hit play and you kept doing that.
What?
The last phone, you know, you were playing all these parts. And it was that song by Alt J on their first or second album that's like she only. Yeah. It was so cool. And we're just like in the woods. You have all this memorized. I was blown away when that happened. I'll never forget it. It was really incredible.
I don't remember that happening.
And you guys, you're just like, check out this party trick, guys.
What the?
So cool. That just goes to show how much content you were probably just doing. And just
dude, that's
singing,
how obsessed
singing,
I was,
singing.
Though.
Yeah.
I really was obsessed. Like, I got really into sight reading, and I was... In like by my senior year of high school, I had gotten so good that I was buying like Greg Jaspers charts off of like sheetmusic.com and like trying to do Greg Jaspers.
Greg Jaspers is
a jazz arranger.
Oh, okay.
And he's known for like his really intricate harmonies. I think he's who was he with like New York Voices or something? Hold on, let's look. But I was doing these crazy like jazz arrangements from vocal jazz groups that I was hearing.
You're just singing every part and just
I was just trying to sing every part. Like I probably missed a lot of stuff thinking back, but like really trying hard. I would go measure at a time and like try to sight read it as best I could and then be like, that doesn't sound right. So I'd play it out on the piano and try to get as close as I could.
That's awesome.
He's director of vocal jazz at Western Michigan.
Huh.
That's crazy. Because I went to a jazz camp, the vocal jazz camp with Steve Zagre and sang Greg Jaspers. That's funny. But anyway, I don't know. I fell into it, bro. It was all I did.
Okay, so then did that launch you out of high school into college?
Yeah, so our choir director was like this fantastic woman. Her name is Jan Broderson. Just a freaking force, amazing. But she, you know, I was taking voice lessons with her and with Tony Biacco, who was a tenor at the university at Northern Michigan University at their music program. So I was taking voice lessons with both of them, and both of them were like, you should audition for music school, like you should go to music school. So it was like both of them that sort of encouraged me to do that.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So I eventually ended up auditioning at Lawrence Conservatory in Appleton. I auditioned to State, Michigan, and Juilliard. I was like, okay, we'll get like State's my backup. That's like, and then
the
like
high,
Lawrence
and
Michigan,
low, and get the middle,
the middle, and then I'll just audition for Juilliard. Whatever.
Yeah, why not?
I did get in after being put on the wait list. So I was waitlisted at Juilliard, but then eventually got in. But then they were like, we can't offer you anything. You're not good enough. You're going to have to pay $60,000 a year. And I was like, oh, I can't afford that.
I don't have Juilliard. That's still pretty cool, though, you know?
It's still cool. It's definitely
very
cool.
Hey, like, and by the way, to everyone listening, this story ends with Obama, so stay tuned.
Oh yeah. That's right.
I'm deciding how it ends now. It doesn't have. You can end however you want to end it. It's your story, but we got to hit on Obama.
Obama's a great spot to end. Actually, that is a great spot to end because right around then was when I started to produce my first album.
That was it. So that's early college is when you did that, or early, late high school, or early college.
Early college was Yeah, I had messed around with FL Studio as a kid, but only for like maybe a month at a time, and only really bad electronic music.
Yeah,
And
techno.
always because Andy Tuohy was doing
Yeah,
it.
exactly.
Andy Tuohy
Remember,
was
we used
doing
to
it. I was
call it
like, I want
Tech
to do that.
Yes. We were saying
Tech
that
Yes.
techno, Tech Yes.
Yeah, we would do Tech Yes. That's true. So
So
Andy
bad.
Tuohy would do it, and then I'd be like, I want to do that. And then I wasn't very good at it, so then I
Yeah.
didn't really do it very
He's the
much.
only one who could pull that off, honestly.
He was good at it,
He
man.
made some cool beats.
He did make some cool beats. Yeah, I did not, but he did.
Yeah, so that's your first DAW, right?
Yeah, that's my first DAW. So then I sort of had a little bit of experience with the DAW, but went to college at Michigan. Like, Michigan was just immediately home. It was perfect.
Yeah.
And then, oh, I guess I kind of skipped a step before then. The
Ruh-roh.
yeah, so my senior year, I sort of knew I was gonna want to go to music school, so I decided to dual enroll at Northern. So for, I mean, and I was so obsessed with choir by this point, I was like, I just want to do more choir. So I, at Northern, I would spend half the day at Marquette Senior High School doing like random academics, and then half the day at Northern, and I took all three of their classical choirs and show choir. So I did literally, I signed up for every choir that you could sign up for and took like musicology and theory my
I didn't
senior
know
year.
that either. Oh my gosh.
So I
You're
was doing,
cranking.
this is how like obsessive I was about choir. I was doing like both choirs at Marquette Senior High School. So I was doing like the choir class and chamber choir. Then I was doing the university choir, their chamber choir, their early music ensemble, and their like funny show choir. So it's like
Six
in like
choirs?
six choirs a senior
You're
year.
probably singing like 30 hours a week.
Yeah, I was singing a ton. I mean, I was singing every day for sure. Like,
That's incredible.
holy
And sight
crap.
reading every day, and
Getting
wow.
really good. Like, yeah, I was like really good at choir. I was super good.
That's
And
awesome.
so by the time I go to Michigan, I'm like, get me in the choirs. I want to do all of the choirs. So I like signed up for choir, obviously, and auditioned for chamber choir, but did not get in. I did not get into chamber choir my first year.
Really?
Yeah, and it, I mean, Michigan has a really serious chamber choir. In all of
Wow.
my 4 years at Michigan, only one freshman had ever gotten into chamber choir.
Wow.
His name was Sam Kidd, and he was nuts. He was a great singer.
I bet. I mean, I can't imagine. I mean, the amount of experience you had going into that audition,
Yeah.
that's intense.
But I mean, the chamber choir was so intense. And like, I remember me getting in, like, I eventually got into the Michigan Chamber Choir my second semester sophomore year. And even that was a big deal.
Yeah.
Even like, when that happened, people were like, holy crap. Like, most people didn't get in until they were seniors because almost the whole choir was grad students.
Wow.
So, like,
That's so impressive, man.
well, it was only because I had so much choir experience. Like, my voice really wasn't ready for it, I think. Like, I wasn't quite a good enough singer.
But yeah, but you could do all of the things they needed, right?
Yeah, I was just like, and I was a tenor, which helped. I was a tenor one. So, like, the rarest form of person, besides a bass,
Okay.
too.
It's kind of like a type, like O blood type. You're like the universal
Yeah,
most
right.
wanted voice type.
Yeah,
I
you
don't
are. Dude, bass twos are the rarest.
Yeah,
Like,
that's Tui
actual
right
bass
there.
twos, that's Tui. Dude,
Oh.
he joined choirs our senior year, and he was a star, man. He was a big star.
He was that low voice.
Man, he was
I
so
remember
good.
that.
That was fun. I was loving that.
Yeah.
But in high school, I arranged stuff for like a quartet of singers, and we like performed a bunch, and we went to like state ensemble with the four of us, and they were all with like my little arrangements, just of like spirituals and stuff, like nothing crazy. But then when I joined Michigan, I like joined all the choirs I could, and then I joined Glee Club and an a cappella group, and just because I wanted to sing a lot. And
Yeah.
initially going in, I was like, dude, Glee Club is gonna be so sick, and like this a cappella group is gonna be a fun little side thing.
Yeah.
And turns out I was dead wrong. Like, I hated Glee Club. because I just didn't get along with a lot of the people. It was just like socially, it just wasn't my scene.
Yeah.
You know, there were a lot of like East Coast kids, like people who wear suits to class sort of vibes, like in that group. Yeah, it was really like pretentious, like, ooh, yes, yes.
Growing up in Northern Michigan, not many suits. Maybe not many flannel.
Not much class in the UP.
different type of class, you know?
Yeah. A polite woodsy class.
Yeah, you know? Yeah.
Woodsy.
Woodsy.
Yeah, I don't think I was ready for, like, people that actually have $100,000 in their bank account to, like, talk to me. Like, I didn't know how to do it. I didn't get along. I just, like, didn't fit. So, yeah. But the kids in the a cappella group were just guys. They were just, like, dorky choir guys who all like to drink together. And so I, like, fell head over heels for the G-Men and got really into that instead. And I didn't at all expect it. But sort of another moment of serendipity in my whole thing was, like, in the G-Men, they're, like, the person who arranged all of their music had graduated, and no one else, like, really knew how to do it. And so to the whole incoming class, they were like, does anyone know how to arrange music? And I was like, yeah, I used to arrange music in high school for, like, our little quartet. And so they were like, okay, you probably should arrange everything because no one else knows how to do that. And I was like, okay, bet, I'll do that. And so the whole, like, this whole, like, I dived head over heels and started to, like, employ the stuff that we were learning in music school that I was really excited about.
Yeah. Into media application.
Yeah. I was, like, super excited about stuff in music school. I was like, I just learned about overtones. And I was like,
yeah,
arrange it.
And we had that overtone episode where you mentioned the overtone singer. So you were doing all sorts of different music too, right? You were kind of doing covers, but, like, changing things and morphing things, right?
Yeah, I loved taking, like, a song that I knew and arranging it for men's voices in a way that, like, didn't at all resemble the song, which nobody else was doing at the time. I mean, some people were doing, but, like,
yeah,
it was a special time in a cappella because, like, Pitch Perfect had just come out. So, like, it was hugely popular. And it was just, like, people were just starting to get really creative with their arrangements. And so, like, I instantly became, like, really famous in the a cappella world, in, like, collegiate a cappella. And it was, like, sick. So stupid. It was, like, the dumbest, like, fame ever.
Ah, I don't underplay it. I mean, I remember because I was doing school at Lewis and Clark, and we had to do this fun little project in a music history class to do a little, like, essay on a musician we know, not anyone who's, you know, like, not Bach, someone like that. Like, go find someone. So I went to you, which is perfect because I hadn't talked to you in a long time. Like, we were not.
Oh, I kind of remember that.
Yeah, and you sent me a bunch of stuff, and I was, like, seeing these arrangements, and I was like, these are crazy. These are so intricate. Like, what? How do you do this stuff? Like, this is what I was trying to learn in music school, and I was like, Marty is doing this right now, and it is so cool. And also, I remember you on the podcast being like, you know, a cappella music's so fun because it's all about making moments, right? So it's like, it's not necessarily about the normal, like, okay, verse, chorus, same old, same old. It's like you got to make all these moments of action, sort of. It's like an action movie or something. And that was really a really cool, like, composition thing you were talking about through arrangement.
Yeah,
also,
man.
So I have these memories of that.
Dude, I learned that from Matt Shire. The most important compositional lesson I ever learned was from a dude who studied economics. And that's what he told me, is when he was the older ranger in the G-Men. He was like, you know, I was asking him, like, what do I do? How do you make these arrangements so good? And he was like, it's all about moments, dude. Just, like, jam-pack the arrangement full of moments. If the real song doesn't have moments, just make them. That was his advice. So, like,
and it's a moment, something like where everyone drops out and there's, like, a solo note, and then, like, everyone comes back in, you know, like, these kind of drama.
Or just, like, randomly just a super loud thing happening, or, like, a weird noise that, like, you know, like, one of our beatboxers knew how to 2-vein throat sing. Like, he knew how to throat sing.
Oh, yeah.
Like, we've talked about throat singing on the podcast before. Go check out that episode. But
great episode.
Like, I would write in throat singing in moments. Right? So just, like, that sort of thing. And, like, people.
It just grabs
your attention.
That
was the most mind-blowing thing ever for people. Yeah. And, like, that's kind of what took us to ICCAs over and over again, is, like, constantly blowing people's minds with stuff, like, throat singing, like
ICCAs, what's that?
That's like the international competition for like a cappella. So, I mean,
Wow.
we all loved it, and yeah, we went to ICCA finals in New York City like twice when I was in college. It was super fun,
That is
and I
so
learned,
cool.
yeah, dude, some of those, dude, at that time, some of those groups, I think the group from Berkeley won, but they were like insane. They were so clean. Everyone was a perfect singer. And they had like professional choreographers like choreograph their set. And holy
No.
crap, it was amazing. Like those
Wow.
kids were so awesome.
That would be cool to see. I mean, yeah, that'd be so cool to see.
It was fun.
Dang. And I feel like at the same time, something you've mentioned to me before, I'm just filling in the pieces I know. I don't know all of this. But another piece I know is that at the same time, you were like people, you were kind of making a little bit of your own music on the side, but some of your musical friends and you were kind of getting into producing a little, but some of them were kind of pushing you like, hey, Marty, like you're onto something here. You got to start making your own
Yeah.
music, like making albums. And I know you were doing a million things, but eventually that got you to like really get into production and making albums too, right? Like
Yeah,
your
it
solo
did.
project, right?
Yeah, and so my academics were really weird because I was going to school for like vocal performance. So I had to do a ton of classical music. So I was classically trained, but whenever I could possibly not take a classical music class, I would
Yeah.
take like jazz or like meditation or electronic music or creative improvisation or something weird. So I was like constantly surrounded by weird music and different stuff. And my room was always like, there was always someone weird in my room. And so Ableton just happened to be like the thing that we would use to like mess around.
Yeah.
And
It was a
then
plaything.
it was, yeah, I mean, it was like a note tool more than not. You know,
Wow.
so we would just get in and like get really drunk or something and then play around with some random synthesizer some kid would bring over and then plug in a shitty mic and then just like put a bunch of
So
reverb on
fun.
it and just. But then that over the span of 4 years morphs into like, yo, when is the album coming out? Like, when is
Right.
your album coming out?
Uh-huh.
Like, so.
And here you are, and we have less than a minute, but I gotta say, how did we get to Obama? You gotta share the Obama story. It's my favorite bragging point about you.
So in my sophomore year, or maybe it was my junior, I think it was my junior year, the White House invites the G-Men to sing Christmas carols for their White House Correspondents' Dinner in the hallway. So we sing in the hallway for all of like the news anchors like walking into the White House or whatever. And then we get to sing privately one of our Stevie Wonder arrangements for Obama because we hear that Obama loves Stevie Wonder. And someone is like, hey, this group outside that's doing carols, they're like an a cappella group. They have a Stevie Wonder song. Would you like to hear it? And so we got to sing Isn't She Lovely for Obama and meet him. And so I got to shake his hand and got to shake Michelle Obama's hand. And he loved it. He
So
was like,
cool.
that was really great. Go blue. And then he left.
That's pretty good, Obama. And like the most Obama thing to say ever.
Yeah, right. He like knew our yeah, he's like Michigan. They had their game. They lost their game the other day. We were like, yeah, they did. They did
I'm
lose
sure
their
that was in
game.
his briefing.
Yeah, right. He quickly looks up like before he's like, where are these guys
Yeah.
from?
I never skip Stevie Wonder when he comes up on my like songs because Stevie Wonder is quite good.
Stevie Wonder is quite good.
Wow. So we haven't even gotten to your professional career, but let's wrap it up for there. That's a sweet story, man.
Oh.
And honestly, you are an incredible singer. I just last thing, I remember you coming over one time and my mom is obsessed with the song Hallelujah. And so you went to our piano at
She
her
is.
request. She's sitting in the blue
Yeah,
chair. You
oh
started doing Hallelujah. And honestly, I was like all against corny music, against pop at that time. My heart melted, and I can't
yeah.
imagine what happened to her heart. Like your voice was absolutely incredible,
Oh, thanks,
and
man.
it was so cool. I have a lot of good memories of you singing, and it's just great to see that as such a big part of your identity and what you're freaking great at.
Thanks, bro. Thank you. I
For
wasn't
sure,
always
for sure.
great. I didn't sing in middle school on purpose.
Yeah,
We're here now,
well,
bro.
I'm taking on some blame for that because I feel like I brought that energy. I was very anti all that, you know, self-conscious.
I think
energy.
I was kind of thankful that I remember being thankful that you didn't sing too, because I wasn't about it either. My parents like forced me to do choir.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I was just like, wow. I was so rebellious and so like not about it. So
yeah.
You might not have as much blame as you think. I was like kind of thankful. Maybe
well, to all the kids out there, the one thing that I think I've learned in this life pretty well is that if you can express yourself through singing and through dancing, or both, you're gonna have a good life.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what's going on. If you just go sing and you just go dance, it doesn't have to be good. If you can just comfortably express yourself, that's the real meat of it. And I'm still working on this for sure. Like, it doesn't matter what's going on, you're gonna have a good life. You can make it work.
That's true. Man, thanks for letting me talk about myself for 40 minutes.
Yeah, of course, man.
That was a lot of fun.
You have a really cool life.
Oh, thank you. It's gonna All right. Oh, I can't wait to interview you. This is gonna be so fun.
Oh,
you're the best questions.
The turntables have tided.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah. I can't wait.
All right, well, until next time, everybody, much love.
Bye.